Today on Compassion Radio.
And that really captured the attention of many faith leaders across the United States. And Christianity Today covered it and so many others. And then there was really an alignment of key faith leaders like Franklin Graham, like Rick Warren, like Bill Hybels, that came together. And so they may not agree on some things, but they definitely did agree that we needed to take up the issue of HIV and AIDS and rethink how the U.S. was to get involved with that. And that was really the beginning of this kind of work.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram spends time with people who live their lives in a missional way, whether it's in a mud hut in remote Africa, a church in war-torn Ukraine, a village in Nepal devastated by an earthquake, or one of the countless Christ-centered ministries in the United States. Bram is there, tirelessly bringing you the life-changing stories of God's love, goodness, and faithfulness. Jenny Eaton Dyer, Ph.D., is the Executive Director of Hope Through Healing Hands, a Nashville-based global health organization founded and chaired by Senator Bill Frist. This organization is committed to improving the quality of life for communities around the world, using health as a currency for peace. I'm Frank Montenegro, inviting you to listen to the final part of an eye-opening conversation Bram had with Dr. Dyer, as she shares how God is using Hope Through Healing Hands to dramatically improve the lives of millions.
Healthy people are productive people. And when people are productive, they're more safe, they're less likely to go to war, they're more likely to live to long age and have intact families. They're more likely to produce things throughout their lives that raise the living standards of where they live, and they become great trade partners for our nation. So there's nothing bad to be found in helping the health of the world. So this can, as far as I'm concerned, be a very missional thing as we tell our government, these are our priorities as people of faith. We are in agreement with you that it helps our country. It's in our national interest. So we say, do this. Am I on the right wavelength with you?
Absolutely. I mean, I'd love to share why this is so important. I mean, think it's
absolutely. Let's go into that.
I mean, like you, I mean, prayer is of top concern for thinking about addressing some of these concerns. Philanthropy is of top concern. We would encourage your listeners to give to their nonprofits that they work with or give to their church to do this kind of outreach. But we also encourage them to do the work of advocacy as another practice of Christian discipleship. And we know that advocacy works, and although there is sometimes some skepticism around foreign assistance funding, but we know it works because over the last 25 years, we have watched the statistics do amazing, historic, epic things. And I'd love to share that with you. In my opinion, the media doesn't share the story well. It's not out there. The public generally doesn't know it. And unfortunately, even faith leaders don't know it. But since 1990, we have been able globally to cut extreme poverty in half. And what do I mean by that? I mean that in 1990, over 36% of the population lived on $1.25 a day, lived in extreme poverty.
36% of the world. So we're talking, what, almost 2 billion people?
Yes.
Okay, this is since 1990. What has happened since then, you say?
Since then, less than 15% of the world's population lives in extreme poverty today.
We've already, in like 20 years, lifted a billion or more people out of extreme poverty.
That's right. They're no longer living at $1.25 a day. Now, they are not living, you know, abundant lives, but they are not living at the extreme poverty rate of $1.25 a day anymore.
Okay.
And that is a huge historic outcome that no other generation has been able to accomplish. And we want to continue that momentum, of course. And this is, as a reminder, in the face of increasing population growth, as well over the last 20 years. It's an unbelievable an unbelievable development that we have been able to tackle. And the U.S. has led on this. This is important to understand. The U.S. leads the world in funding for global health and development. We really forged the path, and it's important we continue to do that.
We need to celebrate good news when we get it. Billions of people are now able to literally eat enough protein or calories to get through a day and survive to the next day. And that means that food insecurity is not nearly as drastic as it was just even 20 or 25 years ago. But it doesn't mean it's erased. It means that billions of people now, even with a growing population, are able to feed themselves and survive.
That's correct.
And I will call that a victory. It's not the end, but it's the beginning of good things.
Absolutely.
So, let's talk about the why. Why did that happen? What was it about our investment as a nation and leading the way that changed in the past 20 years that made this possible?
Well, you know, and I would love to give you just a couple other statistics. But before I do, I will say the why is because we have been able to establish infrastructure and partnerships, both with countries and with other nations and with other multilateral organizations. And in doing so, we have been able to tackle these goals, which is something that we just can't do one by one in terms of nonprofits. So yeah, I would love to give you some a few more statistics on that first, Bram, for global health. So we talked about cutting extreme poverty in half, the rates in half. But I'd also like to note that we have been able to cut the number of preventable, treatable disease deaths in half as well. So since 1990, we've been able to cut in half the number of people who die from malaria globally.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. We've been able to cut in half the people who die from tuberculosis globally.
Amen.
And since over the last 15 years, we've been able to cut in half the number of people who die from HIV and AIDS, again, globally. So we've been able to tackle the three most devastating infectious diseases around the world, and we need to keep the momentum. But more than that, we've also been able to do two other massive Millennium Development Goals since 1990, and that is we've been able to cut in half the number of child deaths, the number of children who die under the age of five, again, from things like pneumonia, a cold, a mosquito bite, from being sick, for prenatal issues, these kinds of things. It was about 12 million children who died every year in 1990. It's about 5.9 million children who now die annually from these preventable causes. Similarly, we've been able to cut in half the number of maternal mortality deaths as well. Women who die due to complications of pregnancy and childbirth, and those numbers have dramatically declined as well. So we've been able to tackle these huge issues, particularly for people in the developing world, in the last 25 years. And why have we been able to do that? To answer your question, we've been able to do that because we've created infrastructures and partnerships with other countries, bilateral partnerships. We've also been able to create these multilateral organizations like the Global Fund, where we work with a variety of foundations and other wealthy nations, and then low-income nations as well. And we all work together to build clinics and provide the kind of healthcare services needed to tackle these preventable, treatable diseases. Again, you know, it costs pennies to address these kinds of things, pennies to the dollar, frankly. It's very simple, and we've learned how to do it and do it well, as the statistics show. But we do need the political will, and we need the energy and the zeal of the church behind it to continue this good work.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us. Here's a word from Bram Floria.
Hi, friends. In these summer months, it can be a real challenge to connect with and support the ministries that you believe in. Since we're a 100% listener-supported radio ministry, we depend on consistent, faithful giving from our friends to make it through every season. And this summer, we really need you. If you believe in what we do, and you support the amazing work of the people we highlight each day, then we really need you to declare that with your prayers and generous gift today. Remember, there literally is no Compassion Radio unless you want it. We've been around for almost 75 years now, but we can't rest on our history, and we can't expect to always be around without your support. We do what we do, where we do it, when you send us. So thank you again for how you supported and prayed for us in the past. And we thank you for how you'll stand with us now to make sure we're here to inspire and challenge you today and in the years to come. Here's how you can do just that.
If you'd like to support Compassion Radio, call 800-868-2478 right now or go to CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. If you'd like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And thank you so much.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Jen, I know our time is drawing short now. I want to ask you a couple things about the obstacles that remain to get the evangelical world involved in this process of getting the government to do what it can do to address the things that we care about.
Right, thanks. So one of the biggest obstacles we have is just simply misunderstanding not only the amount of funding we spend in foreign assistance, but how we actually implement the funding in foreign assistance. I think there's still a lot of mistrust and misunderstanding about that. But just to be clear, over the last 25 years, there's been incredible effective and efficient usage of funding through USAID, through the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, through NIH, through the CDC. So the work that's been done has contributed to the amazing statistics that we've talked about today. So one of the obstacles is just destigmatizing and educating folks on those issues.
Give me a story about how Christians have gotten involved in this process that have really produced great results.
Sure. So, you know, it really began around 2001, 2002 with an Irish rock star who decided to come over and start rallying Middle America and more importantly, pastors in Middle America around issues of HIV, AIDS, and extreme poverty. And so a guy named Bono would go to these churches and go to these pastors and go to Bible studies and this kind of thing and really educate folks on the pandemic that was hollowing out societies across sub-Saharan Africa. And that really captured the attention of many faith leaders across the United States, and Christianity Today covered it and so many others. And then there was really an alignment of key faith leaders like Franklin Graham, like Rick Warren, like Bill Hybels, that came together, and so they may not agree on some things, but they definitely did agree that we needed to take up the issue of HIV and AIDS and rethink how the U.S. was to get involved with that, and thus launched.
I'm very glad they did.
Yeah, absolutely, and that was really the beginning of this kind of work over the last 20 years.
Kudos to Bono for actually using his platform and leveraging it for a way that actually had lifelong consequence. I mean, his impact is going to outlive his lifetime for sure. And God's calling all of us in the church to live the same way. And we all have our own platforms and our own leverage to use. So it's a question of good stewardship, really. We each do have our ways of influencing others around us. And the neat thing about living in a free society with representative government is that if we take the initiative ourselves to engage with those who represent us in government, we can quite often have an impact, which is why you're trying to plug people of faith into this. So maybe you have a story or a friend of yours, somebody you met along the way, that didn't realize that they had that power within them, that with the freedoms we have in this country to speak truth to power, they didn't know they could make an impact, but they ended up finding a way. Do you have a story like that you could share with us?
I mean, I think that's the story that for all of us, right? I mean, I don't think that any of us knows how much of an impact we have on the world unless we really take a hold of that passion and that zeal and that purpose and live it out. And I mean, I think that's evident when in talking with Christian music artists with whom we speak all the time. I mean, they just don't understand how much power they have. I think it's something we all need to learn, that our one voice can save the lives of millions.
I'm very thrilled that we've had a chance to get to meet you and meet the mission of Hope Through Healing Hands. There's a lot of healing that needs to be done, and there's a lot of hope that needs to be delivered. And I know that Compassion Radio partners and givers over the years have been interested in both those things. They've gone with us to places of great need. They've helped us participate in projects that have the greatest impact. But it's because they have a hope in Jesus that they do all these things in the first place. So this is what compassion is about. Compassion in the Christian sense is about tuning into God's wavelength, following His heart, His desire, His intentions, and His plans, and joining Him in that work. That He invites us to do that is amazing. And that we have a society, a government, that's able to be responsive to the values of the people that are within that country is a wonderful and marvelous gift and legacy. So I thank you for the work you're doing and encouraging us to lean in and participate in ways that can have maximum impact around the world and becoming aware of those issues. So Jenny, as we get to the end of this discussion, what's the challenge? What's the one you're facing now, the one you would like the average Christian out there who is involved with a local church, who may or may not know these great thought leaders or these rock stars, but they want to make an impact? What would you encourage them to do today?
You know, I think it's as simple as we have an option for them to go to hopethroughhealinghands.org/advocacy. Mm. And if they would like, they can learn a little bit more about how they can offer their voice to save the lives of millions of people by simply just filling out a form, signing a letter that we will take to Washington, D.C., to their senator, to their representative, and let them know that they care deeply about the health and well-being of the world's poorest.
Okay, so here's the devil's advocate question for you. I've seen a lot of polls out there. I've seen a lot of surveys. I've seen a lot of petitions. How effective, really, is me just adding my name to a letter mean?
Well, you would be surprised. I mean, I spend 2 to 3 days a month in Washington, and I'm on the Hill. I'm in these offices, and, you know, it's a unique thing to bring in a host of signatories, of constituents who care deeply about foreign assistance. When that congressman may or may not understand that their constituents do care about these things and do want them to support these very moral, ethical issues. So these signatures are actually the key motivators to create this bipartisan atmosphere we see on the Hill to support foreign assistance over the years.
Now, wouldn't that be a marvelous byproduct of this whole project, to see our senators and our congressmen actually sit down at a table of peace together? And we are called to be peacemakers. And if that means literally helping our own representatives make peace with each other so they can be effective in the work that they need to do most, so be it. I mean, what a wonderful, wonderful product.
Absolutely.
But beyond that, of course, the core mission of Hope Through Healing Hands is to see us as a nation reach out and deal with issues. Now, me as an evangelical, I would say that I love this because it frees us up to be refocused on the things that only the church can do. Because the government can't win souls to Jesus. They can't build schools and teach the gospel in the context of an entire educational environment. Christians can. But we can't do that if we're having to deal with issues of primary medical care all the time. And all of our resources as a church get stuck into things that governments should be doing to help the entire world. So, folks, when you make your government responsive to you, when you take the initiative to help Jenny Dyer and the folks at Hope Through Healing Hands tell the government what to do with their dollars, your dollars after all, it's freeing you up to do things that you want to do as well. So it's like a win-win all around.
Absolutely. you know, you had a question earlier about how the sacred and the secular can actually work together. And this is a great example of this. I mean, this is a great place where the church and the government actually do work hand in hand. The Catholic Church is known for providing most of the care across the continent of Africa, particularly for HIV and AIDS. And to provide them with the funding to continue that care, which the U.S. government does through Catholic Relief Services and other entities, not only just Catholic, but also church-related, evangelical-related entities. This is how we can work hand in hand. This is how where the church can be on the front lines of providing care for the widow and the orphan, and providing clinical care for the widow and the orphan. And it really is the best of the best for how the sacred and the secular can work together.
And if we care about our nation at all, we care about how the world perceives us, we care about our influence in the world, if we're responsible citizens, we're going to want our government representing us in a way that wins friends and doesn't make enemies. And it's very hard to make an enemy out of somebody whose life you've saved. Of course, if you drop bombs all the time, that's all they ever see of a government. They're going to have a certain impression of us. But what about that quiet witness of people of faith getting together and saying, in this we can unite. We want to see babies grow up to be responsible and productive adults. We want mothers to not worry whether their child or they are going to die in childbirth. We want to see families not afraid that their young children are going to die of something as simple as diarrhea. We want those things. These are human values. But beyond that, they're also Christ values. These are things that have eternal consequence because they make a pathway in the wilderness for those who are going to hear the gospel for the first time. And for me, that is the fruit of the Spirit right there. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, you know, all the other ones down to self-control. This is where we get to flourish because people are alive and well to hear the gospel. So, of course, this is the best of the best, Jenny. I'm thrilled you're doing it. And I want to remind our folks that they can be involved with the work they do, literally through her own healing hands, carrying your signatures to the Hill, where congressmen and senators will see your name, your signature, assigned to the petitions that we are asking the government to respond to our wishes. She carries them with her own hands into those rooms. So, do the work, friends. Join them in the work at hopeforhealinghands.org/advocacy and become part of this. That's my appeal to you. Dr. Dyer, I thank you so much for joining us in this past few minutes with Compassion Radio. I pray that God will leverage your work and multiply it in amazing ways, and that we'll have a chance to catch up soon.
Wonderful. And thank you so much for having me on today. It was a pleasure to be with you.
If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, go ahead and check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the encouraging reports Bram brings us from the mission field, both here in the U.S. and abroad. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now today, when you support Compassion Radio financially, we're going to send you a copy at your request of the Psalms and Color Coloring Book, a beautifully illustrated book that contains more than 60 pages filled with gorgeous drawings for you to color with either crayons or colored pencils. There are also bookmarks and gift tags, all centered around the Psalms from the Bible, as well as blank pages for you to draw on and write down what God is saying to you through His Word. The Psalms and Color Coloring Book is the perfect gift for the person in your life who enjoys expressing their love for God through drawing and coloring. Kids 10 and older, adults and seniors alike will love this wonderful coloring book, and we'll send you a copy at your request today as our way of saying thanks for your financial gift to Compassion Radio. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com, and when you're there, just click on the donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478, or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION, COMPASSION, to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot. And thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We are so very thankful for you. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.